Thank you. You can be seated. Do I have this on here? All right. Thank you so much. Am I on? Am I on here? No? I'm good? Okay, good. And it's an honor to be here. Thank you, orchestra. That was awesome this morning. Thank you so much for all those who worked hard to make that happen. And it's good to see the Best Years Club here as well. Brother Hassie, Mrs. Hassie, I'm going to ask you to stand if you don't mind. I know you've just stood a couple times already, but Brother Hassie served in the Korean War, and just last week he got honored with the, those of you, if you're familiar with the Honor Flights, and what they are, it's a group, an organization that has, they have raised money, and they charter airplanes from all over the country to go to take World War II vets and now Korean vets, and to Washington, D.C., and they get spoiled, as they should be, and he got to go last Wednesday, and was honored in Washington, D.C. for his service to our country. He got to take his one son with him, and I think Brian Hassie and his boys got to meet him out there in D.C., and they, on the plane flight, is it home, you do the mail call, is that what happened? On the flight home back to Chicago, they do a mail call, and like they did in service times, and those and family and friends wrote letters and got to put it in an envelope for Brother Hassie. And he has served at First Baptist Church. How long, Ms. Hassie? How long y'all been there? At First Baptist? Since 1956, 55, and serving faithfully. He was part of the pulpit committee that called Brother Wilkerson to be our pastor, and he and Mrs. Hassie are just valuable members, and I'm so glad you were honored. I saw a lot of it on Facebook, and it brought tears to my eyes, and one of my favorite people in all the world are the Hassies, and you owe them more than you will ever know until you get to heaven. Let's give them a hand for being here and for being honored. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. I was told a story about a lawyer who was out duck hunting. And he shot this duck and it landed across a fence into a farmer's field. And he goes to climb the fence and he sees a no trespassing sign. He says, hey, but you know, I'm a lawyer. I'll figure this out. He gets over there, goes to pick up his duck, and this farmer comes up on his four-wheeler and says, what are you doing? He says, well, I shot a duck here. It landed in your field, and I'm just taking it. And with the, you know, fair game laws, he says, I'm allowed to do that. Farmer says, that's not how we work around here. You can't have that duck. That's my duck. And he says, well, he said, but I shot it. He said, that doesn't matter. It's on my property. It's mine. You'll have to get off. And the lawyer said, I'll tell you what, you take that. He goes, you know, I'm a pretty good lawyer, and I'll sue you for all you're worth. And the farmer says, well, you know what? Mr. Lawyer, he said, that's not how we handle things out here. He goes, well, how do you handle things? He said, well, first of all, he says, we do the three-kick method. He said, well, what's the three-kick method? He said, first of all, I kick you three times as hard as I can. Then you kick me three times. Then I kick you three times. And you kick me three times and so on until one of us gives up. Whoever gives up, the other one gets the duck. He says, it sounds fair. He says, go ahead, take your best shot. So the farmer goes, kicks him in the shin, drops the guy right to his knee. Then the farmer kicks him in the gut. Man, he's laying on the ground. He's throwing up. He's hurting bad. Goes behind and kicks him in the rear end, knocks him face first into a cow patty. The lawyer gets up and he wipes himself off. He says, wow, that was pretty intense. He says, okay, now it's my turn. The farmer says, ah, forget it. You can keep the duck. And Second Corinthians chapter 3, if you don't mind. Verse 1, I'll just read a couple verses for you. I'll pray and then we'll jump into the message this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and obviously has a special place in his heart, and he seems to be very proud of the people at this point in time. It says in verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. I pray it would be a help to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew Henry writes concerning this passage, he says, nothing is more delightful to faithful ministers or more to their praise than the success of their ministry as shown in the spirits and lives of those among whom they labor. It is very important to those of us who serve the Lord and work in the ministry and try our best to challenge young people and adults alike to serve God and to give God their heart and to live clean and pure. It does us well when we see those that have listened to us and those that have, we call it sometimes, bought in, or those who have given their minds and hearts to the Lord to be serving Him. That excites us. It's our payday. It's what we live for, if I may. We're not in the ministry for a paycheck, though that helps us get through and do what we do, but the payday is when those of you become the epistles of our hearts. You become the letters and that shine forth the things that we teach, and that's exactly what an epistle is. It's a letter. Paul writes the epistles to this letter to the church at Corinth. A letter is basically a fingerprint of the person who's writing it. In other words, when somebody writes a letter, you write a letter to your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you are sharing things about you that are meaningful to them. It shows time. You know, you just don't speak a letter. You take time to write it. I received a letter as a teenage boy, a junior, 16 years old, junior in high school, from Brother Hiles one day, and I could to this very day just about quote that letter, and the time that it took to dictate that letter and for somebody to type it, for him to sign it and send it out. That Mrs. Boardway, you're sitting here today. You probably wrote that letter and typed it out for him. And she typed many and most of his letters throughout his years. But you know what? That letter today still means something because of the time that it took, the personality that is involved in that comes forth from that writing. And when you write a letter to a friend, to a pastor, to your mom, your dad, to a loved one, you are expressing your thoughts and your inner thoughts and sometimes your deepest thoughts, your personality, whether you're humorous or you're slap happy or you're serious. All of that will come out in your writing. The deep thought, the deep thinking that you just don't share sometimes casually talking. When you sit down and you write, you know, you go to a place in your mind that, you know, speaking doesn't really go. And you start writing things down. That's why we write notes and take notes in class, because when you're writing the notes out, your mind goes to a place to where it's starting to really understand and see it. You know, the Jews were encouraged. In fact, we are in Scripture to write out Scripture and to write it out, because somehow the writing down of that deepens in our thoughts and in our heart and our minds what the meaning of that writing is. And when we write notes to those whom we love, or those notes of appreciation and those notes of congratulation to others, you know, those notes meant something. Brother Hasse, you received letters on the airplane home that probably reminded you of days while you were in service to your country. Receiving a letter from home was like gold, from what I'm being told from a military perspective. And when the letter being written is a joy to the person who receives it and becomes a part of their history. And as I mentioned, I still remember letters being written by Brother Hiles and others to me. Brother Young has written a couple of books now and is writing others. Letters of a lifetime, a lifetime in letters that Jack Hiles wrote, letters he received. And as I was looking through, Brother Young, he's sitting back here this morning, as I was looking through this book this morning, I was learning not just a lot about Brother Hiles, though I was learning more about him than I thought I already knew. But the way that he wrote to other people, I learned from the other folks that wrote him letters that they're portioned in here as well. I learned things about their personality. One here just... it doesn't have the name of the person left out on purpose, but a letter written in 1969 that says this is being dictated while driving from the airport in Chicago back to Hammond. I have just read your letter concerning Dr. Rice and your support. And this is to a pastor friend of Brother Hiles. I know your heart in the matter, and I am sure Dr. Rice does too. I will be glad to be a part of your work and have my name associated with your ministry. I concur with you 100% on finances, and I'm sure Dr. Rice, you and I would agree on every part of this matter. God is able to provide for all of us, and that he does. My brother, as a friend who admires you greatly, let me give you just a bit of advice. You are one who made the conference in that certain location a success. Dr. Rice and I both feel that way, and we admire you tremendously. Now, the observation is this. I do not feel that you have near as many enemies as you think you do. You have been shot at so much that perhaps you hear the sound of guns when they are not really going off. More people love and respect you than you probably think, and my honest advice to you would be to realize realize this and take extra care in your sensitivity concerning people's statements to you and about you. As you know, I am very highly criticized in America and around the world, and for a long time I was extra sensitive to this. The day came when I realized that a person could criticize me and still be a good person. By that I mean he could at a time of weakness say something he did not mean, or it could even mean it and not know all the facts. Or he could not know the facts and simply have a fault and still be basically a faithful servant of God. And it goes on. And here you read this from Brother Hiles' perspective and you learn about him. You learn how he handled criticism personally. You learn how he taught others to handle criticism. Letters are important. Letters are vital. And you know what? The Apostle Paul, having the pen to write and to challenge other Christians by writing letters and using and through the help of the Holy Spirit, he became somebody that was of great help to them. But he uses that analogy or that statement or the word epistle there, talking about the relationship that he, one, has had with the people there in Corinth and what they meant to other people around their community and around the world. Let me say something to you, and I mean this with all my heart. This is a great group of young people here. I believe that with all my heart. Not a perfect group, but a great group of kids. I've enjoyed teaching the last couple years here more than I've enjoyed teaching in the last 30 years. I've always enjoyed my classes, but the last few years, it seems like God has brought a special group of young people to be a part of our student body. And I do believe with all my heart, through the teaching and preaching of your teachers and Brother Wilkerson and the other faculty members, that I believe with all my heart, you're going to go out from this place and do some wonderful things. I believe many of you are going to stay faithful to your the age of these best years folks and friends down front here. And you're going to serve God faithfully in a church one day. And a church is going to rely heavily on you. I remember Brother Hassey in the pulpit committee meetings that we had during the interim time. And I remember him sitting there quietly listening to the discussion going on about who we should call as a pastor. And time and time again, just literally, he would open his mouth only a few times, but wisdom came forth and it would totally change the direction of that meeting. And I'm looking at young people right now who will be the Bill Hasseys in your church one day. You'll be the Elton Mox in that church one day that'll help run and govern and guide a church that will do something wonderful for the Lord. Ye are our epistles. You're our letters. You will have on you the fingerprint of this place here. You know, I enjoy receiving letters. I enjoy reading letters. But, you know, when I was youth pastor, one of the things I enjoyed the most was reading other people's letters. And I had a rule in the youth group. If you dropped a letter, you left a letter, you know, on a bus, it was fair game. And, if I found it, and I would read it. And so everybody kept pretty good eye on the letters that they got from their boyfriends or girlfriends. But, you know, every once in a while, they'd make a mistake, leave their Bible someplace, and as I was thumbing through it and a letter would accidentally fall out, I would take that in front of camp or in front of a bus, and I would start to read it, not giving the name, but it didn't take long for one girl or one guy to automatically start blushing. And, please, Brother Eddie, don't read that. I never read a letter that was too deep. We'll just put it there. And but I did read a lot of embarrassing things. I mean, I watched a lot of macho guys that looked pretty foolish telling their girlfriend how much they thought of them. But those letters that we read, or the letters that we write, are very special to us, just like you are to us. And you will take from this place, you will take from this school, a lot of things with you. Number one, you'll represent a place. You'll represent a place. Many of you, you know, you come from Michigan, or you come from Wisconsin, or you come from Indiana, and you're proud of that place. And you've got a home church that's proud of you. And you know, wherever you came from, you represent that place to this school. And when you leave from here to wherever you go, you will represent this place to whomever. They will see Hiles Anderson in you. They will see the teaching and the preaching of this kind of gospel to they'll see that in you. You will take Hiles Anderson, whether you like it or not, many of you, with you, and you'll be noted for where you came from college. I'm proud of being a Hiles Anderson graduate. I have never had a problem putting it on my biographies. And when people ask and say, you know, can you tell us your education? And as we write a short little biography for you, for this flyer or that flyer, when you come to speak for us, I have no problem in stating that I'm from Hiles Anderson College. I'm proud of this place. And I do want, when I get there, to take this place with me. I want them to see what we believe in me. I want them to see what we teach in me. I want them to see how we live and how the rules that we have and the guidelines that we have. I want them to understand where I'm from. I want them to see First Baptist Church. I was with the pastor 2 weeks ago, and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, I have many staff members from many different colleges. He said, but you know what? The ones from Hiles Anderson stand out to all of our people, because you know what? I don't have to make them go soul winning. They love it. They love it. And they're not just good at it. They like it. They love it. And they want to do it. And they bring people down the aisle. And everybody in our church knows what college they went to. You know what? You represent a place. You represent a people. The Jews represented Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter represented the disciples. He was known of them. His speech at the day of the crucifixion, his speech is said by someone, it betrayeth you. He couldn't hide the fact that he had run with Jesus Christ. It was evident in his personality and in his spirit and his talk. You represent your family, your mom and dad. You represent your school as well, as I mentioned. You represent a people. You also, number three, you represent a person. Those specific people in your lives that have taught you, have trained you, that have been your Sunday school teacher, that have mentored you. Those specific choir leaders and song leaders and music teachers that have taught you how to play an instrument, how to sing, how to stand in front of a crowd, how to dress, and how to live properly. Those camp preachers and those youth revival preachers, those conference preachers that poked your soul and challenged you to give your heart and life to God, you represent them one day. You're their epistle. You are going to go to places they cannot go. You are going to mission fields they'll never be able to attend. You will preach to crowds that they will never, ever see. You're their epistle. You represent a person. You know, sometimes, and just a little bit of a sidebar, and though the Bible teaches us not to reverence men, but to reverence God, those people that God has placed over you, and the Bible calls them they that have watched for your souls, God will hold them accountable for that. And God, I believe, will hold us accountable for what we do with what they've taught us. And I'll be honest with you and very open right now, men will fail you. You will find that the men that have challenged your heart and have stirred your soul, you know what? They're men. They're humans. And they will make mistakes. You will see their humanity. You'll go to work for a pastor that you have great respect and love for. You will see their humanity. And sometimes it will disillusion you. You will think, you know, I thought their standards were a little higher than that. I thought, I can't believe they would listen to that. I can't believe they would do that. You listen to me, listen carefully. You know what? Men will disappoint you. It's going to happen. But you're not to measure your spiritual strength and your character by them. You're to measure it by Jesus Christ. Because He will and never has and won't ever disappoint you. He will always be truthful to you. He is literally the author and finisher of our faith, so we might as well measure ourselves by Him and not by the men that God has used to mentor us. I have been disappointed. I've been shell-shocked, just like many of you. I've had people disappoint me, people that I love with all my heart disappoint me greatly, but it doesn't change my faith in God. It doesn't change what I believe, because what I believe is, though they taught it to me and they may not have lived it right, it's still Scripture. Many of you are thinking, well, you know what, my pastor, he listens to contemporary Christian music. You know what, so should I. No, you shouldn't. You know, I'm not upset when the teenagers that were in our youth group and those in my Sunday school class that are adults now, and, you know, I'm not upset when they live to a higher standard than I do. I'm pleased with that. And you know what? That puts me on edge. That convicts my heart, my soul. And I take a little bit of a side road here on this, but you know what? You are to look at the men. You're representing those people that have given to you and taught you and sacrificed for you, even if they fail you. Do you realize, Brother Douglas, most of the preachers that I had that were preached from behind this pulpit, excuse me, when I was in college, you know, I can't count the number of them that have failed. And Satan is out there hard working and making it difficult for men of God to live holy and live righteously. And you know what? And he nails some of them. But that doesn't change what is written in this book. And doesn't change the truth that they preached and taught. It doesn't change the gospel that they gave and the doctrine that this book gives me. And I'm still an epistle of their teaching. And whatever help I can give them in eternity by the way that I live, I want to do. You say, boy, didn't it make you mad? Yeah, absolutely. And very disappointing as well. But you know, we're going to be in heaven one day. And I'm going to be with them in heaven one day. And we're going to get along in heaven one day. They won't be mad at me and I won't be mad at them in heaven one day. And I believe I'll be blessed by the way that I honored them with my life one day. And last, you represent a higher power. Not only represent a place, a people, a person, but you represent a higher power, and that's Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was an apostle, a group of other men that served with Christ, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ whom he served. And I believe in verse 3, I'll read it again for you and I'll close. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. In other words, we taught you. But it's Jesus Christ, his Christ, that means everything. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Got it in you. You got Jesus Christ in you. Live for him. Let people see that light of Christ in you. Let that light shine brightly through you. Someone is going to read your story one day. You're an epistle. Someone's going to read you one day. And if there were no Bibles and wherever you go, you know what? Would they be able to see the Word of God in you? If you're a missionary in a foreign field and the communists come in or the regime comes in and burns every Bible, would your people be able to see Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Christian lifestyle in you? You'll be read. You'll be read. As the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, you are our epistles. You are our epistles. You are known and read of all men. I challenge you today to be a good read. Just be a good read. Father, we love you. We thank you for your watch care over us. We thank you for a great group of young people here whom I enjoy coming out to teach.